This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. I'm your host Keertana Tiwari and today is March 5th and we're back again with another episode of In the News. Today we have a lot of important updates, especially from the corporate world, from Jet Airways to Yes Bank. First up, we will be talking about how Jet Airways founder Naresh Goyal was booked for money laundering today and his house was also raided. We have Money Control's Ruchira Kondepudi talking to us about this. Hi, Ruchira.
Hi, Keertana.
Can you tell us about what exactly is happening right now? I mean, what is the latest development on this?
The Enforcement Directorate is questioning former Jet Airways chairman Naresh Goyal in relation to a money laundering case. The ED has booked a case against Naresh Goyal under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act, PMLA. The Bombay High Court has asked the Mumbai police to register a case against Naresh Goyal and his wife Anita. This case is in connection with Akbar Travels. The Mumbai police has been asked to file a case against Naresh Goyal and his wife.
Right.
For allegedly cheating Akbar Travels of India to the tune of rupees 46 crore. The complaint was lodged by the company's CFO Rajendran Neruparambil. And the ED also raided Naresh Goyal's residence on March 4th, that was yesterday.
Right.
According to Money Control's Tarun Sharma, the latest update is that he is still being questioned by the ED. He has been summoned and is being questioned as we speak.
Right, Ruchira. What would this mean for Jet Airways now that it's a grounded company?
Jet Airways has been grounded since April 2019. It's been quite some time. If there is a link between the transactions made by Naresh Goyal and the airline, definitely they will get into trouble. And even though they are in bankruptcy court, a fresh case could be filed against them. Last year, the ED had investigated Jet Airways in relation to diversion of funds. The ED had suspected that Jet Airways had transferred 20 to 30% of its bank loans overseas. The ED had also conducted searches last year at Tailwind Corporation's promoter Hasmukh Gaddi, who was also the main shareholder at Jet Airways.
Okay.
And Hasmukh Gaddi's houses were searched today as well. If two officials formerly associated with Jet Airways have been pulled up in relation to financial irregularities, there might be a chance that investigating authorities might want to look into Jet Airways' books as well.
So basically, the case that we're looking at now, it has been derived from this August 19th case.
Not quite, but there is a chance that it might be related to another case that Naresh Goyal was being investigated for. So this particular case, Jet Airways was being investigated. Naresh Goyal himself has been booked under FEMA separately. So far, there has been no hard evidence to link these three cases. But if investigating authorities subsequently find stronger links between these three cases, then definitely they will have to look into it and pull up Jet Airways for it.
Okay. Thank you so much for these details, Ruchira. Moving on to the Yes Bank story, government has approved State Bank of India's plan to buy stake in Yes Bank. And to talk more about that, I have Shraddha Sharma with me. Hi, Shraddha.
Hi, Keertana.
Can you tell us why exactly is government providing this approval?
So, back in January, we had heard SBI's chairman, Rajneesh Kumar, say that, that he has a feeling that Yes Bank will not be allowed to fail. It is the fourth largest private lender and it's very important if we see it from the banking point of view.
Right.
So, this is the point where Yes Bank has been trying to raise funds from quite some time now. And that was the reason the previous quarterly results were all also delayed, because the plan was in place, but it did not go through. And also we are seeing with Yes Bank, after the change of leadership, the NPA numbers had shot up, there was a plan of, injecting more capital. Right. And all of these things were happening. And now finally, the Indian government stepped in for the rescue of Yes Bank. So we are hoping that SBI, which is actually India's largest lender, will now inject new capital into Yes Bank, but this is a source-based report. We are yet to hear officially from the parties, and SBI has also been given the green signal to choose members of the consortium. So the SBI will lead the consortium,
right,
and then the bank can choose who all will be part of that. So after the news came out, the shares of Yes Bank were very positive. They were in the green, almost up by 17%. And but SBI's shares actually fell quite a bit. So, you know, maybe the investors did not take it in a very welcoming front from the SBI's point of view. But it was definitely good news for Yes Bank.
Right. Let's see what happens to Yes Bank and if anything goes through between SBI and Yes Bank.
Yes Bank, yes. So I think we'll be hearing a lot in the coming time.
Moving on to a related story, EPFO recommends 15 BPS cut in interest rate to 8.5 for FY20. Shraddha, can you give us more updates on this?
Well, Kirtana, yes, we were seeing quite a slowdown in the economy in the past year.
Right.
So what we are hearing is that salaried employees will get 0.15% lower returns on their provident funds deposits this year. So that makes it 8.5%, as you said, for FY20. So Employees Provident Fund Organization has said it. And if we compare it to the previous year, in 18-19, it was 8.65%.
Right.
So that's a 15 basis point cut there. So as we spoke about the slowdown, the slowdown actually leads to lower yields in the investments.
Right.
So this has impacted EPFO's earnings as well, because if we see the debt market, so even the government securities and the fixed deposits, they're not yield that much of return. So the interest rate, which is actually one of the biggest sentiment booster for employees all over, so it might just take a little bit of toll on that. But this is what the Provident Fund organization has said.
This is essentially not good news for the salaried employees, right?
Yes, Kirtana.
So let's see what happens in that front, and if let's see how our economy
performs. But yeah, the government has also been saying that they are seeing green shoots in the economy. But now the coronavirus impact is yet to be, you know, seen in our country. So yeah, so we look forward to that.
Right. Speaking about coronavirus, Shraddha, you have been extensively covering this for us. Can you give us the latest update today, especially in the Indian front, since there's still more cases coming out, right?
Right. So last after we spoke yesterday, there were two new cases that have come in India.
Right.
So there's a Ghaziabad man who has been tested positive. He has a history of traveling to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been tested positive yesterday evening. The news of a Paytm employee in Gurugram came, where he was, his vacation destination was Italy that time, and he had come back from there. He was also tested positive. So now the total number has reached 30
right.
in India, out of which 3 have recovered, the Kerala infected patients. But there's also some, we can say that there is no need to panic till we can trace the infection. So that's why it's one of the reasons that WHO has not called it a pandemic.
Right.
Because these people have traveled to the affected countries.
Mm-hmm.
And since we can track the source of this virus, it's still no need to panic. It's only, time to panic when there is a community spread. So in that sense, we are still in a good position because they are tracking and most of the people have been, declared stable,
mm-hmm.
which are being monitored.
Just to understand, Shraddha, does by any chance pandemic, does it also mean that the infection sprouts from many parts of the world?
Kirtana, as I understand of what the definition of pandemic is, if a person travels from China to India,
mm-hmm.
if that one infected person gets coronavirus to India, mm-hmm. that will not be a pandemic because we know that this one person has traveled. It only becomes dangerous when you can't trace the origin of an infection.
Right.
There was a California case where the person had no travel history and he did not come into contact with infected patient. So the initial reports actually suggest that since they can't trace the, you know, origin of the infection, it is the reason to fear in California, because maybe that person has a community spread. But once they trace that, you know, maybe it's one of the infected people that he met, or one of the, you know, family members had traveled to that country who were later found positive, then it still can be contained.
Right.
And to just add to that, we are hearing that Fortis Hospital staff who were in contact with the Italian tourists have tested negative for coronavirus. Meanwhile, Delhi government has suspended the biometric system to maintain hygiene and limited contact of public from the same spot. Right. Delhi Education Minister Manish Sisodia has also said that all primary schools will remain shut till March 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember that two Noida schools were also shut to as a precautionary measure to keep out coronavirus. 12 samples are awaited in Andhra Pradesh. So we will keep us updated on that. If we come to Mumbai, there is actually news that there are 167 travelers which have been quarantined since January after they landed in Mumbai at the airport, out of which 9 are currently admitted in isolation wards.
Okay.
So 9 people might be suspected for the virus, but we have to wait for the results. Let's go to the global front in that terms. Now the number of infected people have crossed 95.
Okay.
And around 3,300 deaths have been reported, out of which around 53,000 people around the world have recovered from the virus. Switzerland has reported its first death, and Iran also reported 15 new deaths. So now Iran has a number that has reached 107.
Okay.
And today we were expecting the Indian medical team to arrive in Iran to treat the Indians who have been infected. There is a contractor at Seattle office of Facebook, which has now contacted the virus. So most of the US companies are now promoting work from home or not coming to office to, you know, stop the, spread. So this is what we know on the coronavirus front as of today.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shraddha, for all those detailed updates.
Thank you, Keetana, for having me.
There was high political drama that started in Madhya Pradesh on Tuesday night. And since then, a lot has developed. So to give us a background on what exactly has been happening, I have Atharv Pandit with me. Hi, Atharv. Can you describe what exactly is happening in Madhya Pradesh?
Hello. Yeah, sure. So basically what we need to understand is that Madhya Pradesh Congress is sort of a divided house. So, there are a lot of theories that are floating around about how this happened, who did this and why it happened and stuff like that. But let's begin from the beginning. All this started on Tuesday night, late Tuesday night, when there were reports coming in that some of the Congress MLAs and some independents and some a BSP MLA as well, they were taken to a hotel in Haryana, and they were kept there, and there was a serious attempt at destabilizing the Madhya Pradesh government, the Kamal Nath led Madhya Pradesh government, and there was also serious attempt to destabilize it, of course, and then of course to do something that similar to what happened in Karnataka, for instance.
Right.
This took place on Tuesday night. And on Tuesday night itself, the Congress, Kamal Nath government, in fact, dispatched two of its senior leaders, one of them a minister in the state government, to rescue these MLAs. Because if these MLAs, these are 10 MLAs, this could have endangered the Madhya Pradesh government. The Congress leaders were sent to rescue, so to speak, these MLAs, the Congress leaders. One of them being Jitu Patwari, who, like I said, is a minister in the state government. He said that this was done forcibly by the BJP. Particularly, he said that this was masterminded by former Madhya Pradesh Chief Minister Shivraj Singh Chauhan and others in the state BJP and the central BJP. So all the other Congress leaders, senior Congress leaders, including Jyotiraditya Scindia and Digvijay Singh, They alleged that this was a conspiracy by the BJP to overthrow the Madhya Pradesh government and install a BJP government in Madhya Pradesh. However, the BJP has refused this. The BJP has said that this has nothing to do with us and this is not something that we are doing. They have alleged that this is actually internal conflict between, you know, between various Congress factions within the Madhya Pradesh Congress unit.
Right.
The observers have said that the truth lies somewhere in between. Experts have said that what might have happened is that this could have been something that was engineered by the Congress, some leaders from the senior leaders from the Madhya Pradesh Congress unit, because there is, of course, there are three factions that are in the state unit of the Congress party.
Okay.
One of them, of course, is being led by Kamal Nath. There's Digvijay Singh and there's Jyotiraditya Sindhya. So basically, after Jyotiraditya Sindhya lost out during the Lok Sabha election from his constituency Guna,
right. He
More or less has nothing to do within the organization and in terms of, you know, administration within the Madhya Pradesh government. And he was also, as we remember, after the 2018 assembly election in Madhya Pradesh, he was also being touted as the possible CM candidate, but he was not given that post. So these are the things that might have come into play. Digvijay Singh again has been reportedly unhappy with the kind of treatment that is being given to him and those sort of things. So so observers have pointed out that this might be a tactic from within the state Congress unit. This might be a tug of war between the three factions. And that could have resulted in this particular episode. Because the Rajya Sabha elections are due, there are two seats from Madhya Pradesh which can be, you know, which go to Rajya Sabha. That could also be one of the reasons that this whole particular drama unfolded, probably. The second theory, of course, is that the BJP did this because they want to, overthrow the government. And in any case, they don't have much of a... So, BJP has 107 seats, while Congress has 114 seats.
Right.
And the Congress has support of various independents, and then they also have support from Samajwadi Party and the Bahujan Samaj Party.
Right.
So, they don't have... The BJP and the Congress don't have a lot of difference in terms of their seat share. The observers have said that it might also be that the BJP was actually fishing in troubled waters. Taking advantage of the fact that Congress is a divided house, they could be aiming to sort of destabilize it even more and then eventually install a BJP government. These are the theories that are floating around. For now, the government survives, but experts have said that this was a very serious crisis that the Kamal Nath government has faced and it might not subdue anytime soon.
Right. This is almost like we are seeing the Karnataka incident happen again.
Exactly, Kirtana. And that's what they've been saying. I mean, there are parallels with the Operation Kamala that was carried out in Karnataka and could be carried out in Madhya Pradesh.
So let's see what happens next. Thank you so much, Atar, for all these details.
Thank you.
With that, we wrap this episode of In the News. If you have any questions or queries, you can always approach us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.